This audio presentation is a teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled Investing in People, Pastor Aaron goes over the mission statement of New Hope East Hawaii and discusses the different ways we can invest in people. This message was recorded on Sunday, October 11th, 2015. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Good morning. You know, I woke up this morning and I think it was about 5:30 or so. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord, because it was nice and cool at that time. And I tell you, sitting up here in the front row, trying to be real calm because it is hot up here. And I was really sweating. So as the day went on, I recognized that it was getting hot. So I tried to use the coolest shirt that I possibly could, one that is moisture wicking, but you still don't see through them, and I apologize for that. Because although I can hide all the nervousness that goes on inside, like I've told you before, when I'm up here, obviously the body won't allow me to do that, yeah? So we are sweating today and it's hot, but God is hot. Amen. And God is good. So we're going to hang with Him today. Amen? You know, the one thing I'm really glad about is it's not as hot as it was last week. But last week, I actually got to take a break because I only did part of the message. Last week we got to share that story. And if you weren't here, I'm going to encourage you to go online at newhopeastaway.com and listen to the message, because Roxanne last week did a wonderful job in telling us a beautiful story that the Lord gave to us. So listen to that. And this week we're going to be continuing on, like Jaywin said, in that heart, as we talk about investing in people. But before we do, I want to do something fun with you, okay? Everybody take out their bulletins. Okay? Take out your bulletins and look at the front side. Okay? We're going to do some origami. Okay? So what I want you to do, with the front side facing you, okay? Fold straight down. Okay? Not even be perfect, but try to get them as perfect as you can. And then crease. Okay? Got them? Everybody hold up your bulletins. This is the only origami that I know. It's called fold in half. Okay? Keep it like that. There's a reason why I had you fold them. Okay? Now put them down on your laps. The reason why I had you fold them is because I'm going to ask you a question. And the answer to the question is inside of your bulletin. Okay? And here's the question. The question is, what is New Hope East Hawaii's mission statement? Anybody know? What is East Hawaii's mission statement, except for Pastor Scott? You know, about 3 weeks ago, I realized that I didn't. I still have the one memorized from up in Kupulau, but I didn't know our mission statement until I looked at our website, and it's right there on the front page. Okay, go ahead and open up your bulletins because we're going to read this all together. Okay, New Hope East Hawaii's mission statement is, our mission is to guide people of all backgrounds into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is our mission statement, if you didn't know. Memorize this one, okay? Because this is what, if God has called you to this church, this is what He's called us to do. And I love this statement. Not because I love the guy who thought it up. Not just because I love the guy who thought it up. But I love it because it's simple, it's attainable, and it's practical. If you think about it, right here in East Hawaii, in our tiny little dot on the map, we can find people from every part of the world. I mean, just look around right now today. We can find people from every part of the world and every background. And you know what the Great Commission is, the one that Jesus gave us? He said, go into all the earth, and make disciples of all men. That's the Great Commission, and it goes right hand in hand with our mission statement. And it's not unattainable for us. In fact, we don't even have to leave our district to find people from every part of the world and every different background. We can do it right here. So, how do we accomplish this? A big part is by simply investing in them. Investing what? And when you write this down, the number one rule when it comes to investing in anything is that I can only invest what I have. I can only invest what I have. In Acts 3, the story goes that the Apostle Peter was walking through a town. And in the towns in those days, people, especially if they were handicapped, they would become beggars. So he passed this beggar on the street, and the beggar put out his hand and asked for a handout from the Apostle Peter. And he actually stopped. So the beggar thought he was going to get something, some money or some food or something like they would give in those days. But this is what Peter says in verse 6. He says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." See, the fact is that when it comes down to investing in others, we cannot give what we don't have. We can only invest what we have. And knowing that I cannot give them anything that I don't possess, it's very vital that we understand that we need to invest in ourselves first. So you can write that into number one. Invest in me. Invest in me. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, isn't that a little selfish, Pastor Aaron? I mean, we've been taught all along that it's better to give than to receive. Well, it can be selfish, but not if you're looking at the bigger scheme of things. See, it really comes down to the intention of the heart. If I'm investing in myself for my own personal benefit, then yeah, that is very selfish. If the means is an end in itself, then there's no shelf life to that. However, if I choose to invest in myself and become everything that God means for me to be with the heart that I'll be able to someday use it to benefit somebody else's life, then that has a shelf life of even possibly eternity. That is what Jesus Christ did. That's the kind of heart of eternal possibility, and that's what I'm talking about. I can only invest what I have. And if I'm going to invest in others, then I need to have something to give them first. That's why it's so vital that I invest in myself first. Listen to this. We will never know when God will throw somebody an opportunity to invest in somebody right into our laps. You'll never know that. And we don't want to be caught with empty pockets when that happens. So, personally, I can recall hundreds and hundreds of missed opportunities in my life when I saw somebody in need, somebody who God threw in my way, and I missed it, did nothing about it. Why? Because at that time, I didn't have anything to give them. Not a day goes by that I don't reflect on missed opportunities. You folks remember those Gatorade commercials where the athletes, they drink the Gatorade, then they go and they do their thing, and they start to sweat. And then they start to sweat the colors of the Gatorade. I thought that was real cool. But what's even cooler is the question that they presented at the end. You guys remember that question? What was that? Is it in you? It's a question I'm asking you right now. Is it in you? When that opportunity arises to invest in somebody else, when God gives you that chance, will it be in you to give it to them? Look at this scripture, 2 Timothy, where it says, all scripture. How much?
All.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love what Julie shared this morning when she shared about her devotions, because this is what Paul was talking about when he was telling Timothy this. And this one comes out of the New King James Version. The NIV, New International Version, words it like this. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. It means God-spoken. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know what this is saying? It's saying that this is the answer to every question and every situation that we could ever be faced with. If we begin to invest it into our lives, if we begin to invest the Word of God into our lives, we can be made complete, thoroughly equipped, equipped enough to invest in others. Again, I ask you, is it in you? Is it in you? This is the reason why we so fervently, all of the leaders in this church, encourage daily devotions. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is living and active. And it has to be. Why? Because it's God-breathed. You know what happens when it becomes living and active in our lives? Not just in our lives, but through our lives. What happens is we begin to speak into the lives of those around us. So one of the tasks I'm going to challenge you with today is to memorize Scripture. Every day, memorize the Word of God. Write it on the tablet of your heart. Because when it's extracted from the page and written on the heart, that's when it has the opportunity to come to life. For example, say that there's somebody that I'm talking with, somebody who is struggling with something in their life. And I recognize right off the bat that what they're struggling with is bigger than the both of us, bigger than all of us put together. I can still say to them, listen, I don't know exactly what God is doing, but I know this, that in Romans 8:28, it tells us that God causes all things to happen for the good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. I can do that. You know why? This is one of the scriptures that I have written on my heart for a very long time. I can tell them that this scripture to them and say, I know beyond all doubt that He has a purpose for you. I know. I know what you're going through is tough, but God has a purpose for you in all of this. You just keep loving Him, and we'll get to see Him do something wonderful. I'm going to pause right here. Because I didn't do this just for the sake of the message this morning. I realized during the week as I was praying that somebody would need to hear this verse today. That God causes all things to happen for the good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And that's a word for you this morning. You may be going through something that looks bigger than you, that looks bigger than all of us. And it's true. I'm not downplaying that. But it is not bigger than our God. And if that's the word for you this morning, grab onto that. And here's my encouragement. Love God even more. Love God even more. And watch what He will do with that. Watch that. Now I can do that this morning. Again, because it's in me. This word is a part of my life. And you know what I just did? I just prophesied into yours. It's called a word of prophecy when we speak like that. And you can do that, but only if it's in you. Now, along with that, along with investing the Word into your life, also invest in some quiet time with God. You know, in this busy world and all the things that we get to do with all the technology that we have, sometimes it's very, very hard to get quiet with God. Amen? But we can. We just got to make a choice. Get quiet and invest that daily quiet time with God where all the craziness of the world and all the cares and the troubles, you just push them aside. Sit down, be quiet, and just let God love upon you. God will not compete with those things. I promise you that. He won't compete with the world. He'll give us the opportunity to come to Him and sit and allow Him to speak to us. In John 4:16, it tells us that, and we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Would you underline those three words, smack dab in the middle of that verse? God is love. You want to know what God looks like? If you've never heard me say it before, God looks like love. Let me put it to you this way. This is what he looks like. Have you ever seen a mother holding her newborn child for the very first time and staring into each other's eyes? They're not just looking into their eyes. They're looking into each other's soul. If you've seen that, you've seen what God looks like. Have you ever seen a bride and a groom on their wedding day, taking their vows, looking into each other's eyes? And I've seen it 100 times because I've gotten to do this. And I recognize that I may be saying the words to them, the vows that they're taking, but I'm not even there. Have you ever seen that? If you've seen that, you've seen what God looks like, because God is love. You know what happens when we purpose to sit down with God? To just sit with him, let him hold us, or let him speak encouragement, or even speak correction. When we do that, just like sitting with anybody else, he breathes out and we breathe in. And when we do that, love gets inside us, because God is love. Why is it so important to have love inside us when it comes to investing in others? Because that's exactly what God is asking us to do. And you can fill that into number two. Invest love. Invest love. Now, many of you have heard me say this before, but for those of you who haven't, I'm going to do it again. I love to read Valentine's and anniversary cards when I'm waiting for Carlin while she's shopping. I love to read them. You know why? They try to explain love the best that they can. But you can tell they don't understand God, because some of those can be really corny. This one I remember. My love for you is like a seed, softly planted in the earth, gently breaking the soil, expanding to its full love. My love for you is like that. When I read that, I was like, ah, come on. We try, but it's very hard to explain love, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 13 is the only place where it succeeds, where it says that love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And don't ever forget these last three words. Love never fails. That, folks, is what love is. It's not an entity. It's not a Valentine's card. It's not a feeling. It's not even an ideal. Love is a living and active lifestyle. And this is what God is asking us to invest in people. Remember, you won't be able to dish it out unless it's in you. And the truth is that we can give people everything that this world has to offer. We can bestow on them every spiritual gift, every form of physical miracle, every bit of biblical knowledge. But without love, it'll be all for nothing. That's what the rest of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is all about. So how do we dole it out? How do we invest love? Well, start off with the first six words. Love is patient and love is kind. We give it off in patience and kindness. In fact, imagine for a moment what this world would be like if we were to do that. Maybe even for 24 hours, if everybody in East Hawaii would choose to attack every situation, approach every circumstance, no matter what happens, if we would just choose to do that with love, patience, and kindness. I live up on Kauailani, and it's above that four-way stop. Driving is a challenge for me, especially at that four-way stop, because people don't know how to use that. Some people wait too long. Some people don't know when to go. Some people go too early. And that can be very, very challenging. But imagine if we came to that four-way stop every single day, or for 24 hours, everybody who went to that four-way stop treated the other person with patience and kindness. You cut me off, it's all good. Maybe you headed to the hospital or something like that. Maybe you're in a rush to get to work. You stalling too long, waving me through, it's okay. It's okay. I got time. If we were to do that for 24 hours in every situation that we'd be faced with, what would happen? In 24 hours, this little corner of the world would change the world. That's a promise. And that's what can happen every time we choose to love people, invest love in people in this way. Seems that every time I go before God to complain about how bad my relationships are going, He'll always bring me back to this scripture. And after reading those first six words, I realize where I failed. Last week, I got to tell you at the end of the message, I got to tell you the tale of two little women. You guys remember that one? If not, you got to go listen to the message. But this was a story about two women who endured for two men that they love. And that's what love does. It always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And because of that, it never fails. And when we choose to invest love in people, we cannot fail. Why? Because God is love. Breaks my heart so much when people, especially leaders in the church, forget this. And instead of looking to love people into the kingdom of God, they try to reason with them, or try to force them, or the worst one, try to scare them by telling them how spooky hell is. Now, I'm not trying to fool you. Hell is a scary place. Get that right. But listen to this. As God's people, we are not called to scare the hell out of people. We're called to love them into eternity. Realize that investing patience and kindness into someone will get frustrating at times. I've been there. Especially when they just don't seem to get it. But you know when people usually get it? Is when you're ready to give up. But remember that love does not give up. Even above that, realize that God did not give up on us. You know why He didn't give up on us? Because He could see the bigger picture. We only see the moment. But God sees all of eternity. Never give up on anyone. I always pray like this. I say, Lord, you do your thing. And allow me to be obedient to do my part. So what's the best investment of love that we can make? I'll let Jesus answer this one. He said it in John 15. Where He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now, Jesus could say this. Why? Because it was in Him. Not just in Him. That's exactly what He did. He gave up His whole life for our eternity. Often we think we have to do it in the same way, where we'll get to jump out in front of a moving bus to push somebody out of the way, or maybe take a bullet for them. You know, the Superman in me still dreams of doing this someday. And we may get to do that. But here's the thing. No matter how great the feat we may accomplish, or how awesome the thing that we get to do, maybe it'll be on the front page of the paper. But the truth is that our blood cannot bring anybody eternal life. Jesus already did that because His blood could. What He's really asking of us to do is that we would die to ourselves, to our desires, to the many things that we want, laying it down so that somebody else might know Him. And because they get to know Him, might live. He's asking that we invest our lives. And if you haven't already, you can write that into number three. Invest life. Invest life. story goes that the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest among them. And I can just see this as I get to know these guys. Peter is saying, hey, I'm the go-to guy. Jesus calls me the rock. He always comes to me with the tough stuff. I'm the man. And then Judas pipes in and he says, I handle the money, which makes me better than you. And then John says, and if you know John, John was the one who was called the beloved disciple. John says, come on, you guys. Jesus may like you, but he loves me. Carlin pulls that one on me all the time. He loves me, so I'm the best in his eyes. And then Jesus steps in, as he always does, and this is what he says. He says, you guys are all wrong. You guys are all wrong. You want to be the greatest in the kingdom? Then be the servant of all. That's what I'm doing. You see, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to invest it in all of you. You see, again, investing in myself isn't very selfish. After all, because Christ intends that I use everything that I am, use my life to invest in others. There's this Christianese term for that. You guys know what it is? It's called ministry. In layman's terms, ministry is really loving people through action. That's what it's all about. It's where you get to take everything that you are, your passions, your gifts, your abilities, and not just keep it to yourself, but use it. Put it into action in such a way that people get to see the love that God has for them. Not just hear about it. And because of that, perhaps, they might even get to know him. How many of you have been to the big church up on Kupula? What's the first thing you notice when you drive into the driveway? I didn't hear it. What was it? Basketball. You know what the first thing, I worked up there for 7 years. The first thing that people usually notice is the garden. Yeah, garden is beautiful, yeah. First day working there, I had this lady, she lived nearby and she came walking through. And I don't know how she knew, I didn't recognize her, I don't know if she knew me, but she came up to my truck and said, Pastor, as I'm stepping out, I'd like to tell you something. And she said, isn't this garden beautiful? And then she said this. She said, you see this garden? When I saw what they did out here, I had to go inside. Because I knew if they were doing something this good out here, they got to be doing something good inside. And you know what? I got saved here. She said, God sent me to another church where I get to serve now. But because of this garden, I got saved. And I heard that many, many times because people go up there for weddings. People go up there to play softball. People go up there for a dozen different reasons aside from going to church. And you know what they recognize? The beauty of the garden. And some of them step inside because of what's going on the outside. Uncle Yuki was a part of that garden ministry for what, 30 years, Uncle? For a very long time. See, it's not the beauty of the garden that saves people. It's the hearts who say, and the hearts and the hands that say, I will put in my time, I'll put in my sweat, not just to make something beautiful, but that somebody might see God through this. That's what ministry is all about, and that's what we get to do. Now, not all of us can garden. I mean, I've made things grow. Hard to keep them alive, though. Maybe you can't garden, but maybe you can sing. You can invest that. Maybe you can teach. You can invest that. Maybe you love babies. God bless you. You can invest that. Maybe all you can do, well, maybe you think all you can do is be a good listening ear. Don't ever underestimate that. Because God can do something wonderful with that, and you can invest it. Silver and gold I may not have, but what I have, I give you. Folks, whatever you have, you can invest into the lives of people for God's glory. Jesus put it like this in John 10:10. He said, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." Truth is that this world that we live in empties people out every single day. That's what it does. That's why so many people seem to be so empty and live empty lives. But Jesus came so that they might have life and have it to the full. You know how he intends to do that? Through you and through I. Through his people serving people. Now listen to this. Somebody did that for me. And somebody did that for you. Hoping that it would not be a dead end, but that it would continue on through us. You know what happens when it does? When we serve people and love people, it gets a chance to continue on through them. Hebrews 10 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Now, I'm not trying to scare you with this, but I want to be very honest. Truth is that time is running out. And I'm not referring to the end times. I'm referring to everyday life. Because even I realize that every day, every moment could be my last. One thing I want to do is to invest this life before I leave this earth. Invest everything that I have. Why? Because I'll have no use for it where I'm going. The good thing is that I know where I'm going. And hopefully you know where you're going. But there are those who don't. And that's where we get to invest everything that we are into them. One of the things we will not see when we get to heaven is a person who does not know Jesus Christ. The time to invest in them is when? It's now. So first off, make sure that it's in you. Invest in yourself and invest well. And then don't let it go void. Dole it out. Give it out in love and in life. I'm going to welcome Jaywin up to close and to do communion this morning. But let me leave you with one last thought as he comes up. And would you write this down? That I may be the only Jesus someone ever meets. If I don't invest in them, who will? Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope Christian Fellowship, East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.